Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. You are listening to Reclaiming the Republic, and this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. I will tell you that we've got a lot on the hook for the show. We've got two segments with John Burberry. He is a former radio show host, and former because what he basically was blamed for was insensitivity, and you know, they basically took his radio show away from him because the lack of tolerance and the insensitivity actually of just a very few. There may have been 100 people that called, but I'm going to tell you that that was people that was living way outside of their call letters and their reach. But bottom line is, if you haven't noticed, it just seems like the We Too movement and, you know, guilty by allegation or by rumor of law is how we are moving forward. And that's how he ended up losing his radio show. But he is basically, he's still employed and he's still doing good. I'm hoping to meet him in the near future, but he has a backstory that I think is really important, and I'll get into that in just a minute. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. The phonetic way of stating that, it's 215-TOP-TALK. So if you want to call in, 215-TOP-TALK or 867-8255. And so let me kind of just jump into the little bit of information I have on the GoFundMe. I have talked to, and I believe I have a promoter that's going to help with this so that we can start going after people with a little bit deeper pockets. I understand that everybody that's listening isn't necessarily the most affluent, but I will say this, that if you do want to investigate, you just go to GoFundMe and go to, or just search for Reclaiming the Republic, and you will find that. What I need to do is actually get that campaign link. It's on the Mobius Strip Press Facebook page, but I need to also put that on my websites and so forth. All of those things, all those IT details, I need to get hot on and getting those done. Let me grovel for your understanding and and patience. I appreciate it. It took me 3 months to get that campaign finally passed the GoFundMe gauntlet. They didn't need really too much. They just wanted me to basically be able to articulate to those who are contributing how the money is going to be spent and how we can account for this. And so the accounting is easy. I've got this literally a separate bank account that those funds will go into, and I'll be able to keep track of the gazintas and the gazautas, what goes in and what goes out. And I will provide the receipts on those expenditures so that way we can, you know, actually account for that stuff. We have a trip and we're trying to raise money for the trip for the 16th, 17th, and 18th of November. We'll be going to Montana. We'll go through Montana, but we're going to Wyoming to actually speak to a lot of leadership in Wyoming. And it is going to be very exciting. We will be producing a video on what I speak about. And so you'll be able to actually go and get the information so that you can get informed on what you need to do to move forward in succeeding in reclaiming the republic. So in my groveling as well, I need to ask you if you're willing to help for your state, for your county, whatever. There's a couple of things you can do. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I don't mind. I do respond. If I don't get back to you immediately, please don't personalize it. But if you also want to get involved in some of the initiatives that the Constitution Club is going to be doing, and we need to get Keith on a little more regularly than we are, but I got to, you know, get him on board with his schedule and so forth. But bottom line, I need you to hear about some of the stuff that they are going to do so that you can actually have the incentive of going, signing up, and getting involved in sending emails to state legislators and so forth. And there'll be scripts, or you can do your own, or you can kind of, you know, just take the script and make it yours. And that way you can help communicate and articulate to the state legislators, the state sovereigns, as to what they need to get doing and how they need to do their job in protecting us from federal tyranny. So with that, again, that's constitutionclub.ning.com, N-I-N-G.com, okay? So with that, let me just move forward. There's actually been some constitutional news, and I'll bet you that you're kind of excited about what you've heard in the news today. But before I get started in that, I want to thank you for tuning in. And secondly, I want you to know that I actually went through the news today. Not all of it, but because there's so much garbage out there. What I did go through, I can tell you that there is no sign that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means that you and I are going to have to do this. We're going to have to step up. We're going to have to adult up, regardless of what your gender is. We got to grow up and become adults and force those difficult conversations to occur between ourselves and the states and the states and the federal government. Because bottom line, compliance is not occurring. And it's not occurring at a lot of levels. But let's start with the top level first, and we'll work our way down from there. And the only way to get that compliance is to formally audit the contract. And you get the stakeholders together to do that. And to me, I think it's a reasonable goal to get the, I think it's 7,383 state legislators. And technically, I've got three of those, but not necessarily in the bag. They got to get through this election, so we got a week away. And if you have money, by all means, please send some love to Chad Christensen and Marty Halverson. They are both on my candidate endorsement pages. So if you could please contribute to their campaigns, it will help guarantee the conversation to occur. So with that being said, what we are hoping to do is actually get this dialogue in Wyoming and Idaho started in the 2019 session. And by doing that, we can actually get the eyes and the ears starting to tune in and focusing on what is this? What is this alternative? What is this? Because with the states actually talking about and stepping in to audit, that is truly going to be the game changer. So I've groveled before regarding if you want to help. There's one thing that I will say, that it really is no skin off any part of your body. If you just include us and Republic Review in your prayers, maybe you can do that, because I do believe in the power of prayer as well. So with that, let me actually get into the news. But actually, before I jump into the news, I told you I would tell you about this interview. So this interview is regarding the Matthew Shepard case. And he was the young man that was basically left and died tied to a fence stake or fence post out in the middle of Wyoming. And he ended up dying, I believe, in Fort Collins, where they rushed him to a hospital. I guess it was the closest hospital. But that being said, I believe that you're going to be surprised, because what you've probably heard, because this is an incident that happened in 1999. You may remember some of this, and it'll all be stemming around the LGBT agenda. And I believe this backstory is something that is worth exposing, because why is it that this has never gone out to correct the news, the supposedly objective journalisms and the professionals that are in objective journalism out there? Why is it that they are not engaging? Why is it that they are getting away with telling you one narrative and then not telling you the rest of the story? Like Paul Harvey used to do, right? It was Paul Harvey. You see, I'm bad with names, but sometimes I can pull them off. Anyway, I'm not sure if you heard, but Trump has actually been talking about the 14th Amendment. And he's actually talking about, and there was the U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy. I believe he was on Fox this morning. And he basically said, Trump is right on the substance when it comes to the 14th Amendment and potentially curbing the birthright citizenship. However, he's basically saying that Trump can't go down the path of using an executive order. I think this is very important dialogue, and I think it is critical that we really focus on what Trump is bound to do as the president of the United States. He is not the king. He is not the monarch, nor is he the sovereign. The sovereign is Congress. There's a reason for that. Congress has all the authority and power of legislation. However, Trump is supposed to faithfully execute the law, near as I can tell. The Constitution and ratified amendments, whether they be questionable or not, we still consider them ratified until gone through the audit process. But a ratified amendment is the law of the land, and being the supreme law of the land, Trump is obligated to enforce that. Now, if Congress has failed to clearly define this, and they've allowed the court as well as themselves to, I'll just say, obfuscate and try to actually blur what is citizenship. And I'm going to get into this when we come back after my interview with John Burberry, because this is really important. Then we'll go a little bit further. And I do have a really special snidbit or a small little article that I want to read that came from Billy Graham. And this is going to go in tandem with the rest of the John Burberry interview or piece or segment that I'm going to do either tomorrow or Thursday. So please stay tuned. This is all going to be fascinating. We're going to blow your mind. Thank you so much. I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, folks, we are back, and actually, I happen to have John Burberry from Wyoming, and actually, I don't know the call letters, but John, I know you were a broadcaster, you had a radio show not too long ago, and what was the call letters for that radio show that you had?
It was on KBOW AM 1450.
Okay, and so that actually, I'll just call it the end of that part of your career is what brought my attention to you. And so I've been telling my folks about my listeners regarding the cultural war that's going on and how even Wyoming is being affected. And I constantly go on the record as saying that there is absolutely zero tolerance from the left when it comes to what they want to ram down your throat. Either you accept it or they will destroy you. And so regarding that issue, what was the fallout and all of that, or do you care to talk about it?
Well, the issue, my name of my program was The Morning Buzz, and it was a local public affairs program, but I, from time to time, would bring in national guests as well. I had a number of contacts in the Washington, D.C., and I would interview people. I interviewed Jason Riley, who's a columnist for The Wall Street Journal. So I bring in outside people, but this particular program, there's a regular slot every couple of weeks that the superintendent of the local school district is on. And I was asking him about some paintings that were, I guess you'd say, very supportive of the LGBT agenda that were painted directly on the walls of the school. And he claimed that he didn't know about it, which I take him at his word. However, I didn't think the school should be promoting that. And from that, a huge outcry occurred. I think there's a local person here who's involved with another media outlet who is a homosexual. And my belief is that this person spread this interview all over the state and aroused the ire of the left-leaning groups in the state.
And so what was that, all 20 of them, or – or how many?
Well, I
a magnitude
many,
of numbers. Do you know? Or okay, that's fine.
I don't know how many, but there were supposedly over 100 phone calls made to the station.
Okay.
Demanding everything from my being fired to taking me off the air, which of course eventually happened.
Okay. And so, and actually, I have that. I have a copy of that. And as a matter of fact, I will just tell the listeners, I've never played it, just so you know. My listeners have never heard it unless they've heard it off Facebook or somewhere else where you can get it. It seemed like you were just trying to have an honest and open dialogue with and just trying to express your concern. And all of a sudden, the superintendent just instantly got defensive. And actually, you could tell he went from defensive to offensive, telling you that you have old world ideologies and old world thinking and so forth. And so anyway, he kind of went.
I do have old world ideologies and old world thinking, and I'm proud of it.
Well, so actually, I'm not going to let that go. I'm actually going to tell you that you actually have the new world, because if you understand American Enlightenment and the Enlightenment era was where we were moving beyond the carnal state of man and actually becoming a disciplined society, getting away from being driven by the day-to-day satisfactions and trying to elevate ourselves through enlightenment of science, education, and those types of things. And so what has actually happened is they've actually been able to obfuscate the facts in bringing back the old world society of chasing, you know, sexual satisfactions, addictive behaviors, and those types of things, and trying to debase our society. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I agree. And I would say not only that, but all these disparate groups, and it doesn't matter what the issue really is, the bottom line is they hate the Constitution of the United States.
I think that's you're soft peddling. because they actually, I think they have visions of grandeur of being able to do all sorts of just evil things to the Constitution and those who support it. And history and actually all of the evidence points to the fact that it is always those types of people who have that level of despicable disdain that are willing to do it. And their mind model, their paradigm is the end justifies the means. So it doesn't matter what they have to do. If they have to kill people, if they have to put Jews in the oven, it doesn't matter. The end justifies the means.
Well, that's right. And you know, the framers of our Constitution were well aware of the sin nature of man, and they put checks and balances and other means in there to hold our baser instincts in check. And this freewheeling, anything goes generation resents that.
Okay. And actually, because I have that audio, I didn't want to infringe on copyrights or anything else. What I would like to do, because there is that, I don't care about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just regular conversation. But what I would like to do is actually later on, maybe in a following segment when you're not on the air, play that small little segment where he starts to go unhinged and then starts kind of really going on the attack with you, and how nobody, it just doesn't seem like you had hardly anybody coming out and pointing the fact out that this is the guy that really, he just had no ability to be tolerant of an alternate concept or idea. And so anyway, if that's okay, can I do that? Can I play that?
Sure.
Oh, okay, great. I appreciate that. I just didn't want to infringe on copyrights or anything else, so that's why I've never played it. So the reason, folks, that I've actually connected with John and doing this interview today is because we just happened to pass an anniversary just recently. And I'm not sure, I'm going to probably get it wrong. Is it Matt Shepard? Was that the guy's name?
Yeah, Matthew Shepard.
Right? Matthew Shepard. And so, but some people may go, hey, you know, that name's kind of sounds familiar. And actually, if I remember correctly, historically, at that almost the exact same point, there was another Matthew Shepard that was in a very, it was actually a complete turn of events. And if I remember correctly, the Matthew Shepard that I'm thinking of was the one that was not in Wyoming. I think this was in Missouri or Kansas or somewhere, where this young boy was sodomized by two homosexuals. And so
you're talking about Jesse Durkheising in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're right. You're right. But it was almost the exact same time. And that was completely buried by the news, where they literally, I think he ended up dying because he had an allergic reaction to what they gagged him with. And, you know, it's like, whatever happened to those guys that did that? I mean, that was so inhumane. Those guys should have gone straight to the chair.
Right. Jesse was 13 years old.
Yep.
He was actually from a little town, Prairie Grove, Arkansas. And his mother had a business next door to this hair salon, which was owned by these two homosexual hairdressers. And they kidnapped him and bound him and tortured him and raped him repeatedly.
For days.
And drugged him.
For days, yes.
For days. And he died from the combination of the drugging and the asphyxia during this ordeal. And you're exactly right. The Associated Press buried that story.
Right. Right. At the same time.
That was in 1999.
Okay. And so let's I really appreciate the fact that you understood the facts on that. I thought there was another Matthew Shepard as well, similar, but I knew that there were a few parallel stories, and they really wanted to highlight this. But the reason, folks, that I wanted to actually get to, you know, some, let's call it clearer knowledge and, you know, part the seas a little bit here, is because John has the insight on possibly the story, the backstory that you never heard regarding Matthew Shepard, and that there was actually a book that just came out. And all of this has been completely suppressed because it just never seems to get out of Wyoming, because it is completely suppressed. Unless everybody that leaves Wyoming puts, you know, these sandwich board signs as they walk down New York, or here's the things you never heard.
Yeah.
So please, please tell the audience about the backstory to this Matthew Shepard, that I believe this book actually asserts that this really wasn't, and actually, I just looked at the time. We've got barely a minute left. So we're going to have to hold you over for another segment if you've got the time. And then you can tell us this, the backstory. Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine.
All right. And actually, there's another thing I wanted to bring up, and I mentioned it on my show already, that the Republican Party office that was just built, and I think you told me it was over in Laramie, right. How that was torched. And that's another news story of the wacko liberals in Wyoming that are going unchecked. And so I would like to probably venture, if we've got enough time in the next segment, to go over that as well, if that's okay with you.
You bet.
All right, great. Well, folks, I'm just going to try to linger on about 10 seconds here. But the fact of the matter is I just didn't want to get started into this story and then have to go into a hard break. So as you know, I'm clairvoyant, and here comes the music. There it is. So when we come back from the hard break, John Berber is going to actually give us the backstory regarding Matthew Shepard and some information regarding that Republican office burning. So we'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and with me, I actually have John Berbery, and actually, you used to have a title, and I hate to say used to have a title, but you were either the chair of a county, or I know you said you weren't chair of the state, but I know you've been involved in the Republican Party.
Yeah, Fremont County, I was the chairman of the Republican Party of Fremont County.
Okay. And so you've obviously been involved in the trenches of fighting this onslaught that the Republic has been facing. And fortunately, you guys are still a few decades behind some of these other states like California. And you're probably, I would say, maybe a decade and a half behind like states like Washington and Idaho and so forth. So anyway, let's get back to this Matthew Shepard story, because I don't want to take all of your time. But give us the backstory on this book and what this author is basically saying had happened, and what are the facts that you know?
Well, the book was actually, interestingly enough, written by a man who describes himself as a homosexual. But he took it under started to investigate this Matthew Shepard incident, murder, several years after it happened. And his determination, after he read all the police reports and did his investigation, was that, in fact, Matthew Shepard's murder had nothing to do with the fact that Matthew was a homosexual. And it had everything to do with the fact that he was also a drug dealer, and this was a drug deal that went bad, and he paid for that with his life.
Interesting. Now, what kind of drugs was he peddling?
You know, I don't recall.
Because what I think I'd heard was meth. I think he was a meth crack dealer.
That could well have been. That was in the middle of the big meth boom in Wyoming at that time, so that could have been the case.
And meth is a highly addictive drug. As a matter of fact, folks, it's not like heroin. You take it once and you're hardwired dependent upon that stuff, and you need a lot of medical help to getting off of that. And the chance of you ever getting off of it is very slim. But anyway, so when you're dealing with those types of people, that are that type of that have that kind of addiction, to me, this really leaps out as, okay, now this makes sense why somebody would literally leave somebody knowing that there's a good chance that they may die, that these people that did this could have been hardcore drug addicts, and in other words, wired to where they just have no empathy for life or anything like that. It just didn't matter. It was about a high.
Well, it could have been. I don't know that. But,
okay.
Regardless, I think it was more, possibly more about the fact they didn't get the money that they were owed in a timely fashion. That's usually what's involved.
Okay.
When a drug deal goes bad.
Okay.
Somebody's not paying up. So.
Okay. So there's been a backlash to this book, and it seems like there. I think it was a New York writer that was basically saying, "Hey, you know, this is a bunch of unfounded, you know, nonsense," or something like that. Is that not how it's been kind of played down in Wyoming? Because I know the rest of the country has not heard this story.
Well, right. You know what happens when news comes out that doesn't fit the accepted narrative, this new word narrative that has come about in the last couple of years, why everything is done to disparage the news that differs from the accepted narrative. So here, Matthew Shepard was a posthumous cause célèbre for the homosexual movement. And now all of a sudden, this book makes the case pretty convincingly that, in fact, it had nothing to do with his sexual preferences, but everything to do with drugs.
Right. And had nothing to do, or his orientation or any of that was in play at all. Right, because I'll tell you, I was in the California at the time, and the supposition was that Matthew made a pass at one of these guys, and these guys basically took it out on him, just took him out and tied him and left him there. And so, anyway, obviously the backstory is kind of not only fascinating, but it is far more understandable to me. Anyway, we've got about 6 minutes left, and I understand from this, what's the best way? Your interaction with the progressives regarding this past, what I think it was May or June, and this story as well, and this Republican story, it just kind of seems like we haven't gotten into it yet, other than there's a Republican office was burnt. It seems like there's been a big focus in trying to create intimidation in Wyoming. And that almost like flies in the face of reason, because it's like that's the cowboy state, you know, where guys I would expect are still packing. Because here in Washington and Idaho, there's guys that carry open carry with a six shooter on their sides. It would just fly in the face of people thinking, you know, you're going to go poke these guys in the eye. So anyway, what ended up happening in Laramie?
Well, it was back for the first part of September.
Okay.
There was an arson attack on the Republican Party headquarters in downtown Laramie. This is the county party now, the Albany County. Wyoming is confusing. Cheyenne is in Laramie County, and Laramie is in Albany County. But at any rate, the Albany County Republican Party offices, which is actually located below a residential building, were torched and suffered smoke and heat damage, and a window that had a Make America Great Again campaign sign, one of President Trump's campaign signs, was broken out.
Uh-huh. Okay, so...
And no injuries. Thankfully, no one was injured.
And the likely culprit, I think you were mentioning, was just go check the campus next door. Is that the University of Wyoming campus?
University of Wyoming campus is in Laramie.
Okay.
And I just said that might be a place to look for suspects.
Correct.
But I don't know where. Well, I don't know what the status of the investigation is now. Actually, it is evidently a federal crime. So federal agents are involved, and I'm sure they'll find out who did this at some point.
Hopefully. I'm not sure about those who work in Wyoming, but I have my experience, and so what I've seen is that you can find what people are calling the deep state is not just in D.C. You can find it in the outer reaches, because I've reported kind of on that, like that school shooting where the FBI just basically sat on the information when they could have easily engaged and stopped that school shooting down in Florida at the beginning of the year. The one thing, and we got a couple minutes left, we got 3 minutes left. The one thing that I'd like to get people to, you know, start understanding what's happening in Wyoming, even though it is a dark red state, it seems like the progressives are getting really well, or I don't want to say well organized, but they're getting organized and they're starting to actually mobilize a lot more efficiently than in the past. Is that not correct?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
And unfortunately, Wyoming has created susceptible laws like the ability to change party affiliation right before an election. And so, do you know whether there's going to be any changes this coming legislative session that they're actually going to strike that law? Or what is the sentiment? What's going on with that?
GR, I don't know, but I've been pushing for a change, a legislative change, for 8 years since the last time this happened. And so far, I haven't been able to get anywhere, but I'm not giving up. I'll continue to push for it. I know the Secretary of State, the likely Secretary of State, Ed Buchanan, is for some restrictions on being able to change party affiliation. So, but it has to come from the legislature.
Right, right. And I'm having a hard time understanding why a 10-to-1 ratio of Republicans to Democrats would allow that back door to remain open. I can understand it. But anyway, in a blue state, I can understand it. But in a dark red state like Wyoming, it makes no sense.
Well, GR, I know this is going to sound funny to you, but we have some people in the legislature with an R next to their name who are about as Republican as Hillary Clinton.
That is sad. And is there that much apathy by the voters?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. So it sounds like I have some work to do, because you know I'm coming. You know, I'm actually working with the We the People. You didn't know this, but I'll just tell you now. I'm working with the We the People Foundation, Constitution Club, and a few other groups. And I'm hoping, because I know the We the People Foundation have people already there. And so I'm hoping that we can actually help organize and do, I don't want to use the word cleaning, focus. I think focusing and changing the focus of the leadership at the grassroots level in getting people to start doing what's necessary in getting rid of those poorly labeled politicians.
That is the right strategy.
There we go. Okay, well, I've got 10 seconds. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming on. And I'm planning on having you on again, and I'm looking forward to meeting you someday soon.
Likewise, GR. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. Thanks again, John. Well, folks, I'm literally up at another hard break. So please stay tuned, and I'm going to come back, and I will actually play that little bit of a segment that I think that superintendent just a little went too high and to the right regarding that conversation with John earlier. So anyway, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So, as I promised, but that was kind of short-sighted of me, I won't be able to play that soundbite because actually it's about 7 minutes. And what I was planning on doing was actually kind of playing the soundbite simultaneously with myself being able to kind of pause it for you so I could say, at this point, I'm hearing, you know, already a defensive position and, you know, boom, instantly when this superintendent goes offensive. Why is this important? Why is Wyoming, and what I consider, if you don't understand what the redoubt area is, I've talked about it before. The redoubt area is eastern Washington and Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and northern Utah, northern Nevada. It is a geographical region that kind of encompasses itself, and not all of Montana, but it encompasses itself around the Rocky Mountains and just a little east of the Rocky Mountains. If you remember the movie Red Dawn, this is the area where it is the Soviet Union just considered it worthless in trying to obtain, maintain, and have a dominance in this area just due to the terrain and the amount of people with guns. And so this area is literally, and I'm going to tell you, if you go and Google redoubt, you'll see it's tied to, and the name came from an author of 2011 that talked about how people were becoming so frustrated with their government, so disenfranchised with the direction of government, that they felt like if they moved into a conservative area when all the crap hits the fan, that they would at least be in an area that they would basically, you know, sever themselves from the bad government and possibly create a new government, or at least survive until, you know, all the chaos kind of goes away, and then hopefully re-inject itself into the dialogue or what have you. So there's a lot of different speculation as to what will happen, what's going to do. But this is where conservative people that love the Constitution want to come. And so it's really sad that we find these little spots like Spokane that are, you know, becoming infiltrated. Same thing with, you know, and they talk about Cheyenne, they talk about Boise. So the capitals and some of the key cities are getting infiltrated. You'll find Antifa and the resistance present in some of these towns, but it is minimal in comparison to the amount of people that are literally, I'll just say, preppers, conservative, constitution-loving. I mean, it is still in the DNA in the folks here. And so this is important. And why this is important to you is because if this area falls, then there's nothing left. Because this is the real concentrated area. If you look, those are very red states, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming. The Dakotas are equally red states as well. And so you would think that, you know, those would be a part of the readout area, but literally I think it's just plains out there and there's not a lot of terrain masking that one can hide in the dense forest and hillsides and cliffs of the Rockies and so forth. So anyway, I've just given you kind of the context of the readout, but what the left calls the flyover states, or what the progressives call the flyover states, this is the last bastion. When you start seeing places like Wyoming getting infiltrated and being concentrated and being moved into a direction, that's important. Because if the canary dies in the cave, my friends, that means you don't have a lot of time. And so while you're really focused on what's going on in D.C., I'm going to try to bring back reality to you to let you know that the canary's coughing and keeping that metaphor alive. One of the things he points out that I wanted to go back on, he makes a comment that the framers understood the evil propensities of men. And I want to emphasize, if you've never read Alexis de Tocqueville's book, Democracy in America, you need to. And the reason you need to is because he really does great analysis. And even afterwards, outside that book, he is known for commenting on how America literally distinguished itself from the rest of the world, because America didn't have laws. The federal government was not creating laws governing behavior, pro, con, or anyways at all. It was not the role of the federal government to do that. They've only started assuming and unconstitutionally assuming that in the last, you know, over a century. But the point is that our government was reliant upon a good, virtuous, and righteous people, and it was religion that actually made us keep ourselves in check. We didn't want to do those kinds of sin. We didn't want to live that shame. And because we clung to those religious, I don't want to call them rites, but those or traditions, it's our roots. It was how we understood and how we were raised. The Bible was integral in our education. Prayer was integral in our education. And literally, as I have been saying, since the 50s, we have been in a fast downward spiral as soon as they remove those from our curriculum and our education. It is not a coincidence that that has happened. And so I just thought it was really interesting that, you know, he kind of points that out. And I wanted to kind of emphasize that and the association to, you know, an academic side. If you go back and read Alexis de Tocqueville, he clearly identifies that there was a huge reliance and a symbiosis between the church and the state. Even though they were not tied, there was a symbiosis there. One of the other things that I think regarding the party and regarding what's going on in Wyoming, and not just Wyoming, it really probably has less to do with apathy and probably more to do with blind trust in the party. There are people that truly believe that the party will not be letting them down, and that those people representing the party, and that's the problem. The party has, at this point in time, they have affixed, or they have made no attempt in trying to control who is representing them. That's why we've had people like McCain. That's why we've had people like Teddy Kennedy. That's why we've had Herbert Hoover. These they're truly progressive communists that were that had nothing to do with anything conservative and constitutional. Hoover was deliberately undermining the Constitution. Same with Teddy Kennedy. Or not Teddy Kennedy. Well, of course, Teddy Kennedy. But Teddy Roosevelt, I mean. And so when you start looking at what those men did to the label, The progressives love those. The progressives love what they did, or they love their mistakes so they can exploit them, like what Nixon did and so forth. So anyway, my analysis is really, I think that the reason why the Republican Party has been infiltrated is just because people have a blind faith. They're not saying, hey, we got to replace that guy. And good people stepping up and saying, you know, I'm going to replace this guy. Look at how he's voting. Look at what he's doing. Let me get back to Trump. Trump is correct that he should challenge Congress and the court system. And I want to get into this very specifically because there is a huge distinction in the phrase in the 14th Amendment. And that phrase is known as the jurisdiction phrase. And I'm going to read it for you. This is the 14th Amendment, Section 1, and it is literally the first line. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. And again, the key phrase there are and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What does that mean? Does that mean that these people that come across our borders, regardless of whether they come across the Pacific, come across the northern border, southern border, or the Atlantic, it doesn't matter. People that come that are subject, they are already subject, they have ID, they are citizens of another country, and they have a baby. That child is subject to the government that their parents are. That's why when our kids go overseas or when our kids are born overseas by U.S. citizens, whether that be for military purposes or what have you, they are granted U.S. citizenship, period. Now, if you have a foreign national, and Ted Cruz is a good case, or Obama potentially is a good case, where you have an individual that is being born in an overseas state where they have one parent that is not subject, but the other parent is. And I haven't gotten into the legalities of that because this all stems around whether one person can become a naturalized citizen or is born a naturalized citizen or what. And so whether you have to go through the naturalization and then, you know, become a citizen. And I know Keith is probably, you know, probably chomping at the bit if he's listening to this. And he'll probably say, oh, yeah. And I know that there's a lot of people that have sweat the details regarding Ted Cruz because of Obama. And so not that I don't care. I'm just trying to make a point that when it comes to anchor babies, this concept of anchor babies is a complete slide and drift away from the concept of what those who wrote the 14th Amendment were trying to do. They had no intent in allowing, and they never did allow, foreigners who came here who had children. Those kids were not automatically U.S. citizens. Those kids were citizens to the country that their parents were subject to. If you had a parent of one nation and another nation, then they were subject to two different nations, and then they could choose or have dual citizenship and so forth. And I don't get that. I know some people that have dual citizenship, and I'm going, that's interesting, but I just don't get that. So what I'm going to do is, and the reason I want to do this is I want to read this Billy Graham snidbit, and it's a long snidbit about communism because it goes in line with what I've been telling you, that these folks are hardwired, that they are willing to do whatever the ends justify their means. And so I will have to cover this probably tomorrow or Thursday. I'll let you know tomorrow, but please stay tuned. We'll have more of John Burberry later this week. Thank you so much. I am G.R. Mobley. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.